for compulsive hoarders, what does the stuff that they collect mean to them?
Well, it means a variety of things. And let me sort of back up and talk a little bit about how these behaviors develop. This whole set of things is a complex set of behaviors, and it seems to involve three different things. One is a form of excessive acquisition. That is, the behaviors that people engage in who have hoarding problems are different than the behaviors of other people in that they collect much more things. They bring more things inside the house. And we can talk more about that in a sec. The second part of it is the difficulty getting rid of things once they enter the home. It's as though when they enter the home, they become part of them, and they can't bear to get rid of them. And the third feature, which may be the most important, is that there are difficulties with organization and the ability to keep all this stuff in an organized fashion. And that may be as bad as the volume of stuff that's being collected.
What was significant about Irene's hoarding that got your attention?
Well, Irene seemed to be a sort of prototypical person with a hoarding problem. She had many of the features that we've seen from the research that we started doing, but one of them was quite interesting, and it goes right to this issue of identity and how people's identity is wrapped up in things. Irene saved cookbooks. She had over 300 cookbooks, but she also saved the cooking section of every newspaper that came into the home and all magazines that had recipes in them. And so her home was filled with thousands and thousands of recipes, thousands and thousands of newspapers and magazines because they had recipes, but she almost never cooked.
And
when talking with her, it was clear that, you know, most of us keep the things we use, and for the most part, we get rid of the things we don't use. Our use of things reinforces our saving. But Irene keeps things she doesn't use. It's not the use of things that's reinforcing to her, but the idea of things.
You know, it goes back to that aspirational aspect of it, though, that she wanted to be a cook.
That's right. That's right. And when she's collecting or even just thinking about cooking, she feels good about herself, and she enjoys the image of what it would be like to try these recipes.
What are other examples of that, of people who become where the thing that they're collecting becomes part of who they are or who they want to be?
We also have cases where people... A common one, particularly for men with hoarding problems, is the guy who sees himself as the person who makes his money by buying and selling things.
Right.
And he will buy things cheaply, and they'll come into the home, but he never gets to the point of selling them. But he can't stop the acquisition part because that's who he is. The meaning of these things is the dreams they allow and not the realities they offer.
Talk about the relationship to the environment that they create and their mind. I mean, it seems to me like their mind is kind of labyrinthine, and so they're creating these labyrinths in their homes.
Well, one of the things that we know about people who hoard is that they have some different ways of processing information, particularly about things. So when I look at, for instance, let me give an example, and this is another example from Irene. When I look at a bottle cap without a bottle associated with it, the one feature that stands out to me, in contrast to all the other features of this bottle cap, is that it is useless to me.
Right.
That is trash. But when Irene looks at a bottle cap, what she sees is shape and color and contour and form and ideas about how it can be used, and all of these pieces of information get processed with an equal weight to this uselessness idea. And so now, in order for her to decide to throw a bottle cap away, she's got to process all this information. So her mind, this bottle cap, is much more complex than it is for the rest of us.
Funny you should mention it. I'm literally holding in my fingers a bottle cap.
Oh, yeah.
From Sprecher low-cal root beer, which is excellent. And so I was holding the bottle cap in my hand. I just picked it up off the countertop when you said bottle cap. And I was just about to throw it out. I pulled it up off the counter. You said bottle cap, so I held on to it while you were talking because I'm looking at one in between my fingers. And I, too, have the same reaction. It's like, I can't wait to get rid of this bottle cap. And I think that that's where other people, they make themselves up to be the savior of things. They're going to save this thing. Yeah. And I think that's what why do they people need to be a savior of stuff? The stuff has no soul, so to speak. Or maybe it has a soul, and I just can't see it. You know? I mean, it either has a value or it doesn't, but it doesn't have a soul to me.
Right, right. Now, for Irene, some things had soul, and other things presented opportunities, and I think that's a part of what these bottle caps offered. She gave a great quote. She said, "Life is a river of opportunities. If I don't grab everything interesting, I'll lose out. Things will pass me by. The stuff I have is like a river. It flows into my house, and I try to keep it from flowing out. I want to stop it long enough to take advantage of it." So she's piling all this. She's like a dam, damming up all this stuff coming through her house until she can use it, because all these things are opportunities for her.